Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, and thank you that we can come together, Lord, to worship you, to praise you, and to receive from your word. Just open our minds and our hearts that we may be able to hear clearly, to receive it, to put it to work within us, that may produce what you send it for. We just praise you and thank you. For we know, Lord, that as we come to your word, we are transformed and empowered, Lord, to do your will. As we are willing to obey and to listen to it. So right now we just praise you and thank you and come to it, Lord, with open hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to just continue on the Holy Spirit. And, what we have been doing is introducing some topics so that we get understanding about the operation of the Holy Spirit in us, and specifically on the way God works with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a part we play. God doesn't just do everything himself. He wants us to work together with him to do the things that he wants to accomplish. This is the way he delegated to us some things, and we have to understand the things that are delegated to us so that we can carry them out. Otherwise, what we do is expect God to do the things that he expects us to do. And also in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is one area in which, you know, actually there is not the understanding, I believe, that is required most of the time. And the reason for that is a simple one. That at the beginning, if you read the book of Acts, it says it all the time, all over the place about people being filled with the Holy Spirit, also in some of the epistles, you know. But later on, when the church starts expanding, and lots of different ideas came on it, okay, some of this understanding was lost. And for about 2,000 years, just about a very small number of people had that experience. Now you can see it, and even then, you know, they had it not completely be able to fully benefit from it. Now, as things change, and the right reason why things change is because God has a plan for his church. And he implements his plan through the ages. And so we get closer to the time when the things need to happen. And so things start to happen and people's heart got open and they saw God and looked to receive from God everything that was there. And so there was, at the beginning of the 1900, you know, a manifestation that had not been available before. This is when, you know, people started being filled with the Holy Spirit in a way that wasn't possible before. Not that it wasn't possible, but people were close to that. And so at that particular time, you know, things start to happen. And people start to have a better understanding. It wasn't perfect. See, I mean, anything that we receive from God is not necessarily perfect. If you think that you got everything already, you are wrong. Because we are limited in our understanding no matter what. And we have to be open for God to do more, because if we got everything that God would have for us, we'll be like Jesus. Now we want to get closer to that. And the only way to get closer to that is for us to be open to God, to give us understanding and revelation. When we see Him as He really is, we are going to be like Him. That's what the Word says. So, you know, no matter our understanding and our theology is, you know, we are always limited in appropriating everything that God has for us. And one of the things we have to be careful is not to become proud on the things we know and think that we know everything. Because the very moment when we do that, we are ready to fall. This is proud comes before destruction. Now, you know, it's interesting to see what happens when this starts to, you know, at the time when at the beginning of the century, you know, the Holy Spirit started falling on people. And there was a renewal, if you want. There was an understanding. It was it's not that there wasn't there before. It's just that the manifestation, the opening, the understanding wasn't the same. And so God started moving, you know, and things started to develop. And you can see that there are waves of, they say, God moving. But really, it's not God moving. It's people being open. It's understanding that being received, because God wants to move all the time. You see, He's always there, ready. The problem is not with God, it's with us. Because we are close to receive everything that God has. If we would really be open, you know, the point is, even our understanding, even when we read the Bible, see, we always see things through the filter of our previous understanding. It has to be the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to be able to see what is really there. And once in a while, it happens, you know, because we were open at that particular moment and the Holy Spirit got through to us and we, oh, I never saw that before. And so we take another step and we had to be, you know, grateful to God for these new steps and take all care that we do not lose the understanding that we got as He revealed to us, because that was the work of the Holy Spirit, and we don't want to lose what the Holy Spirit has shown us. Now, you know, from the beginning of the century, when, you know, essentially the Pentecostal movement started, to today, many other things took place. Many other waves, if you want, took place. And in each of these waves, you know, things got, in a way, further. In a way, there was new revelation. And not only that, but there also were new errors coming in. Because, you know, people are people. And when they get a new idea, they want to go with that idea. And in their flesh, they end up pushing it beyond the point, the revelation that they had, beyond the point that they really should. See, this is why I think it's so important for believers to know and to read and to study the history of the church. Because as they do that, they can get a better perspective and they are not narrow-minded about their own theology. Because that's the hindrance. You know, I really believe that one of the big problems is theology. And you say, what are you saying? Well, you know, there are two types of theology. Okay. I'm going off a tangent here, but I think people need to understand that. You know, there is systematic theology and biblical theology. And if you understand the difference between the two, you understand why systematic theology is a problem. You see, what they do in systematic theology, they take all the Bible, all the scripture of it, they put it in a bag, they mix it together, and they pull out according to topics, and they do not recognize the difference of when things were written. You see, there are some things that were written in the Old Testament that when Jesus came were changed in our understanding. You cannot take them at the face value in which they were written. Because they were communicated to people that had a degree of understanding, and so they had to communicate to them so that they could understand. They weren't there. Jesus had to come to give us the perspective of what was written after, or what was written before, sorry. So when Jesus came, he showed us the truth before everything was veiled and was communicated to them in a way that they could get it. Are you following me? So the problem with systematic theology is they put all the scriptures together and they take them at the same value, when instead some of them need to be interpreted according to what Jesus told us. That makes all the difference. You know, you read some stuff in Psalm that if you would do it today, you would be awful. But if you, you know, if you look at it from the point of view of, okay, now we understand, let's look at the way Jesus would have interpreted this and would have applied, there is no problem anymore. Are you following me? See, this is important to understand, because otherwise we try to operate in the Old Testament rules when instead they don't apply to us anymore. We don't go around killing our enemies. We love them. If you can. By the power of God. Hello. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can take you so many scriptures from the Old Testament that you apply them literally, you know, you will be really missing God. The way God is seen in the Old Testament is distorted by the view of life that they had in those days. God wasn't the Father that Jesus showed us in the New Testament when it was depicted in the Old Testament. Why? Because they were at the level, at the place of the spiritual development in which they could only understand certain things. So this is why biblical theology take account of that. And do not consider all the scripture the same way, but consider the fact that some things were done for a degree of revelation that was before, and they did not come, and they were only for today. We had to interpret it according to the New Testament perspective. Now, I think this is important for anybody to understand, because lots of the problem that you have today is in Christianity are coming exactly from that reason. And we should know better. You see, Jesus came to show us the Father. Jesus came to give us the Holy Spirit too, so that we can connect with God in a way that wasn't possible before. See, we should be able to understand the scripture just as well as the prophet of the Old Testament, and maybe even better. Why? Because Jesus gave us the information, gave us the key to interpret things. Now, this is a bit off the topic of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you see, baptism of the Holy Spirit has been closed as a topic for about 2,000 years. Now it's open again, and the understanding that we have is limited in a degree by the fact that, and in a way it's good, because otherwise you would have known lots of things that weren't quite accurate. See, there is the important time that God is doing now with us, and his plan, you see, this purpose is because we need that. We need that to cope with the world around us today. We need his power to be the church that he wants us to be. Now, after all, if you see the way Jesus called him, is the promise of the Father. I mean, why? He didn't give it before. He gave it now. I mean, he gave it when Jesus came, you know, the day of Pentecost, when Jesus left and went to heaven. But it was lost. Now, I find really ridiculous when people write books because they have a degree in theology and they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, and they try to write on the Holy Spirit when they don't have any experience about it. I mean, it's like me writing how to speak in Chinese when I cannot speak Chinese. Okay? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But they, you know, proclaim and establish things and make rules and stuff like that, when instead much of the Holy Spirit is the interaction that he has with us and the way he works with us and the way he works through us to do the work that God wants to do. So what I'm saying to you now is that we have the part, and the part that we have in all this is that we had to receive the promise of the Father. That means we had to receive, you know, Lambano, take hold of that. We have a part in appropriating this. I shared with you how, you know, I received it. We read scriptures about how the disciples or the apostles got it. The point is, you know, sometimes we read scripture and we don't see what is there. So what I'm going to do is I have to go through some of them again and, you know, see. You know, one of the things that you can see, you know, even today, that lots of people are not very comfortable about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't make sense in their logic. Well, it doesn't work by logic. It works by spirit. Okay? It's not illogical, but it's sometime beyond your experience, so it goes beyond your logic. Now, you know, you cannot take from God only what is comfortable with you. Because otherwise what you do is you cut him off. I mean, there are lots of people that some part of the Bible they are not comfortable with. So they just ignore it. Well, you know, God loves them anyway. The point is that the progress that they can make with God is limited by the fact that they are close to listen to what he's saying. They cannot move in areas in which God wants them to move. Actually, you know, some people are even offended by some truth. This is what Jesus said many times, you know, when he was dealing with the Pharisees or with the other, even the apostles. You know, it came to one day that said, you know, you even, you know, does this offend you? You know, are you going to leave me because of that? And some of the apostles were leaving him in the Gospel of John. Why? Because the truth, when you're facing with the truth, you know, there is a reaction that you have to it. Either you accept it or you reject it. When you reject it, it has an effect on you. So it's a part that we play in agreeing and listening and being open to what God is saying. And not necessarily what people are saying. You know, what boils down to, you have to go to the scriptures and find out what the scriptures say about that. Being open to what God is saying. And not just trying to fit the theology of your comfort zone. Or to try to fit God's truth to what you want to your theology. It's the other way around. Okay? Now, let me just read to you. You know, one of the things that to understand is that with God there is not just one experience in life. He works on you since you are born. But there are some milestones that take place as you grow up. One of the milestones is when you are born again. And you know, when you are born again, you open up to a degree that you weren't open before. And you start moving into a dimension of spiritual world that you weren't before. But that doesn't stop there. I mean, there are other experiences that follow that. And if you have no other experience, you know, you have very little to hold on. See, God interacts with you all the time. And each time God interacts with you is an experience you have that changes you. So each time you meet God, it changes you because you cannot be remaining the same. You know, if you have a revelation, you are not anymore what you were before. If you have a vision and minister to you and changes the way you see things, you are not anymore what you were before. When you are born again, you are not anymore what you were before. Boy, that's a big change that takes place just in that time. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a change there. But you know, it's not just a question that you're filled with the Holy Spirit once. Let me show you the Bible. What it says, for example, in John chapter 20. Jesus had resurrected already. And then, verse 19. If you want to go there. It says, then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, evidently, I mean, Jesus wasn't just saying things to say things. He was saying, receive the Holy Spirit. So when he was imparting to them the Holy Spirit, he was giving them the Holy Spirit. What was the impact of them about receiving the Holy Spirit? Doesn't say anything. Nothing happened in the physical. He just said that. Now, evidently, they must have received something, because otherwise he wouldn't have said that. Okay? So, let's see a few days later. What happened? Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. Now, this happened after. So, when being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. I mean, he had already given them the Holy Spirit. Now he said, don't go out from Jerusalem. Why? But wait for the promise of the Father. What's the matter? He's repeating himself. The first time didn't work? Well, evidently it worked. Because, you know, Jesus wasn't praying in vain. But he was talking about something different here. Which he said, you have been heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you, and so on and so forth. Let me finish. Therefore, when they come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put to his own authority, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit when you come upon you, and you shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the end of the earth. You see, there are two situations here. Do you see that this is not repetition. This is not just a question of saying the same thing twice. There are two different experiences taking up. One has to do with them receiving the Holy Spirit within them. The other one is the Holy Spirit falling upon them. One is inside, the other one is external. See, when the Holy Spirit shall be fall upon you. First he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon you. You see, there is an internal manifestation of the Spirit of God ministering to you and guiding you and directing you and showing you and giving you revelation. But the power isn't there to do supernatural work. The second manifestation, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and it's an evident manifestation, then the power is developed so that you can work and do the work in the power of God to minister and to give life to others. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's the that's why, you see, there is not just one experience. And I'll tell you more. You know, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, the baptism is when you start, you know, when, you know, baptize means to immerse. You see, it's not just a bit. You know, you got the whole package. But now, you know, the fact that you got it doesn't mean that you stay with that. Ephesians talk about, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word that they are used imply that you are continually filled, that you go into His presence, that you are continually immersed in the power of God. And as you get experience with the power of God, you see that sometimes you get new revelation so that you can move in a greater degree of this power. Because you have an understanding and a revelation that you did not have before. It's that experience that makes the difference. It's not a mind thing. It's just that you know that you know that it's there. And you can operate at the level that you couldn't operate before. It took me a long time to understand that. And it didn't come because somebody told me. It's because I experienced it. I saw myself moving from step to step in different areas. And I'm not perfect, and I haven't got everywhere where I want to go, but I know that I'm moving in that dimension. Are you following what I'm saying? So, you know, has to be our desire to get everything that God has given us, because that's what He wants for us. You see, this is the promise that He has given us, and we have to be willing to take the steps and to overcome the resistance that our mind is going to be putting up against doing this, because our mind is afraid of anything new, of anything different, anything that doesn't control. You see, the mind tries to control us when Christ tries to control, doesn't control us out of our, we submit, we surrender to Him. We always have the choice of what you're going to do. But you have to be willing to submit to the direction of God. You take the step, when it's God, you know that He's producing exactly what He said He would do. Are you following me? So, we want to be able to grow in our understanding, grow in our desire to receive from God everything that He has done for us. And we are going to see what the scriptures show in the Bible about different situation, different event in which people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These people were already saved. In some cases. In some other cases, they just got the whole package in the same shot. I mean, that's the best. But the point is, you know, why should you wait? See, the waiting is finished. That's what I said 2 weeks ago, you know. There is nothing to wait now because the Holy Spirit is being released. That was the day of Pentecost. See, it's not God slowing that down. It's us. It's that we are not willing to submit, to surrender, to obey, and to appropriate what He has done for us. But when we understand the part we play, it's not anymore a big deal because it's here. So let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Let me see where we start here. I mean, Paul was, Saul that time was killing Christians, killing believers. I wasn't the most. You see the way God looks at things. See, Paul wasn't doing that because he was evil. He was doing that because he thought he was serving God. Okay, he had been trained according to Old Testament ideas. Now there were all these heretics going around talking about this prophet that came around, you know, he felt responsible to go around and straighten them up. And he was keen because of that was his personality, and he was fully dedicated to the work that needed to be done, even if he had to go around killing people. See, that's Old Testament idea. So God didn't blame him for that. He saw through the shell that was outside that wasn't very good. Okay? He saw the heart of the man. And he reached out to that heart. See, this is the way God works. Sometimes we look at the outside, but God never looks at the outside. He looks at the heart of the people. He did it with David, and he does now the same thing with Paul. He knows that he is determined. He knows that he is not somebody that does things halfway. That he is ready to give everything he has to the work. Now, it's the work that he doesn't understand. So he has to get through to the guy in a way that goes beyond his logic. You see, that what was ruling him was his indoctrination, his logic, his ideas, his training. And he has to get through that. And how does he do it? Supernaturally. I mean, what is logic in doing what he did there? He appears to him and, you know, and throw him down from the horse and see this big light and he's, why are you persecuting me? I mean, if you want to shake somebody, do that. You're going to be very successful. Well, I had a similar experience. It wasn't that way, but not today. But the point is, sometimes you need to be corrected. Because even in your good will, if you want, in your good mind, you are not good for not for anything because you are the wrong ideas. And so you need to come across. And if you really mean business, he means business too. And he's going to go to come across. And so there it appears to him. And you know the story. And he falls and he's blind and he goes around for a few days without being able to see. And Ananias was just a believer there. Let me see where I want to start here. Yeah. So, verse 10, chapter 9. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus called Ananias. He wasn't anybody special. He was just a disciple. Was one of the many that were around there. But was the one that was available and the one that was there. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go at the street called Straight, and inquire about the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he has to suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road that you came, and has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, from his eyes, something fell like scales, and he received his sight, and at once he arose and was baptized. Now, as it goes on. Now, here you see, in this case, there is evident manifestation. I mean, his healing took place immediately. There was a supernatural prophecy taking place and everything, but there was no speaking in tongues here. We cannot really say, because not everything that happened is written there. The fact is, later on, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you know, verse 18 says, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. So evidently, you know, he spoke in tongues more than all them together. And actually thought about it. So I'm saying here there is evident manifestation. I mean, it was clear that something took place there. Okay? Now, there are many other cases. Like, for example, in Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 14. It says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. I mean, they had received the word of God. So they had received Jesus. They had received the fact they were saved. They were born again. Is that okay? You agree with that? Okay. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. So what's the matter? I mean, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit before. Well, evidently, he's talking about something different. Okay, they already received the word of God. For as yet, it had fallen, as yet he had fallen upon none of them. See, he's not receiving, it's a question of falling upon. It's a different word that are used here. It's external manifestation. They have not been baptized, and they have not only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid hand on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And then when Simon saw that to the laying on of them, the apostles' hand, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power that anyone who lays hands may receive the Spirit. And Peter said to them, and so on and so forth. The idea is, how do they know that they had received the Holy Spirit? What was the evidence? Well, the evidence was that when they start receiving the Holy Spirit, they start speaking in tongues. There was a physical manifestation taking place that was giving them the utterance to be able to speak the same way that happened in the day of Pentecost. Let's go to another case. Acts chapter 11. Okay, verse 14. This is the case of Let me start before. If you remember that Cornelius was praying, was asking God to show him the truth, to understand. He was a Roman centurion, but so evidently he wasn't even a Jew. And Peter was told to go there and pray for him. He couldn't even enter the house of somebody that wasn't a Jew because it was not clean, according to the Old Testament. You see, things changed with the New Testament. Okay, rules of the relationship between us and God have changed. You cannot use the same rule in the Old Testament to apply for us today. Otherwise, don't go into the house of anybody that is not a Jew. Okay? Now, let me see where I want to start here. Okay, so he has a vision. Peter has a vision. I see all the unclean things. He says, go and eat. You know, and that was a way, you see, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks in a strange way. You know, evidently God wasn't calling him to eat the unclean thing, was calling him to commune or to be able to minister to the people that they considered unclean. So, the voice answered and said to them, what God has cleansed, you must not call common, or mean unclean. Now this was done three times, and all three were drawn up into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where he was, saying, having been sent to them from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied to me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying to him, send men to Joppa and call Simon, whose name, surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of God, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, here it is. In this situation, these people weren't born again, weren't thin, but they were seeking God. And they had to know the truth before to be able to receive. When Peter went there and told them the truth, he didn't need to pray for them. He didn't need to do anything. They were so open. You see, they appropriated the truth without any prayer. And what happened? They start speaking in tongues. As the anointing anointed at the beginning them in the day of Pentecost. So that's our three examples, but that's, you know, there are other ones. Let me go in chapter 10, actually, and where it says more. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and all those words. The word. And all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentile also. For why? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. See, that's the way that they determined that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you can't. Now, it's the only thing? No, there is other. You know, in Ephesians, when Paul went to Ephesus, visiting there, Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened when Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" You see, these people had believed already. And he asked that. So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" And he said to them, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that the people they should believe on him who will come after him, that is Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them," see, this is something that repeats all the time, "as Paul laid hands on them, they were baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." So that's the thing. You see, there is an impartation from the outside. But they evidently received it. They were ready to receive. So what am I saying to you? Well, when there are different experiences that we can go through. Okay. We can accept the Lord. He starts changing us. When we do that, the Holy Spirit starts ministering to us. The Holy Spirit works on us, works also on non-believers. That's how they come to the Lord. But when we open up to the Holy Spirit, then He starts to change us. Because, you know, it's no use to work on us if we don't respond to Him. So there is a part they play in receiving what the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to point you to Jesus and says, "He is your Savior." Well, you take that step, but that's more. There's more than that. The more than that is when you start receiving the anointing and the power that comes, as Jesus said, you know, "Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall receive power." And in this case, the way the evidence that the power has come was like at the beginning of Pentecost, that they start speaking in tongues. The key thing here is that they had a part. It wasn't just God doing it. They had a part in yielding to the Holy Spirit to start speaking in tongues. And you know, what happens is that physically you feel the anointing of God coming to you, and you feel something starting inside you, quickening you in the physical. And as that anointing is there, if you yield to it, the natural thing to do for you is to start speaking in tongues. There is nothing else you have to do. I mean, you just simply yield to what is already there. But you have the part to choose to do and to obey the anointing that is in you. That's all. So this is... See, it's not a logical thing. It's a reaction or a response to something that happens inside you and you appropriate by faith. You see, every time, all these people did is they appropriated by faith what God had made available to them. See, so what happens to you when you learn to do that? You take a step in understanding how you yield to God to appropriate things by faith in the physical realm. That is not just, "Oh yes, now, you know, I'm saved." There is more, going to do more than that. He wants to change us at all levels. Not just mentally. And so this is what he's trying to do and what his plan was, so that we start operating in the power of God. Are you following me? Okay, well, I think we did enough for today on this. I'm not going to, you know, if you do, if you don't, it's a problem. It's up to you. What I'm going to do is, we're going to continue because there are other things that you have to understand. You have to understand that just this practice of speaking in tongues is not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. That's the first evidence that something happened, that you can say, yes, I got something here. You see, the thing is, it's not just something that you do, it's something that you feel inside. Is you start understanding and feeling and perceiving and receiving the anointing of God working in you that can work through you in a way that you couldn't do before because you were limiting God's activity in you because of what your mind thought, the way you felt. I mean, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and then not do anything anymore after. Why? Because you don't yield to the anointing of God. Hello? See, this is an ongoing thing. It's, you know, you can be born again and do nothing with it, and nothing changes in you. Our walk with God is a walk that we take. It's an ongoing experience in which we experience God at deeper and deeper level, hopefully, because that's what He wants to do with us. So I'm not going to pray, but it's come to the time when somebody wants to be prayed for, I'm going to be prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to really see some other things yet so that you have the full understanding. See, because understanding is important. You know, if people pray for them, they're there. They think something, you know, and they may even feel the anointing, but they don't know anything what to do with it. And nothing happened. See, you have a part you play because God wants you involved in His plan. And we're going to close for today. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you made, Lord, for us and the purpose that you have with it. We ask you, Lord, that our hearts may be open. Lord, no matter what our experience is, no matter how much we already have of you, there is more of you that we can get. And so we just ask you that your Holy Spirit may open our minds, Lord, to draw us closer to you, to make us able, Lord, to connect with you at a deeper level, to see, Lord, your power working in our life in a greater way, that we may be able, Lord, to yield to your Holy Spirit, to manifest the things that you want to see in our lives, to overcome weakness, sickness, pain, and anything else that you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.